Welcome back, everybody, to the Parent Podcast. My name is Matt.
I'm Chrissy.
And we are going to be continuing our series where we're essentially just recapping the Parent Conference that happened around November 5th or so. It was a great day, Chrissy. Do you agree?
Yeah, it was wonderful, although I wasn't here.
It was great for everybody there except for you, but that's okay. You were on the beach worshiping Jesus and his creation, really missing us.
Really missing out on this.
And we missed you too. Mm-hmm.
But very invested and unable to spend.
Chrissy did all the design and all the experience of it and then couldn't experience it herself. I felt so bad.
It's all right. I'm a parent too. Yeah, I wanted it for selfish reasons.
But hey, that's in the past.
All right.
It's time to move. We're focused on the present and the future.
Right.
Amen.
Let's do this.
So we're essentially just kind of recapping everything that we did at the Parent Podcast or the Parent Conference, I'm sorry. And one of the things that we did that I thought was a highlight was we did breakout sessions. And at each breakout session, we focused on the different phases of the group. Our conference was called It's Just a Phase. So we figured, why not take a couple moments and focus on these? So we talked about preschool, elementary, middle school, and high school. And right now, what we're going to do is focus on high school. So without further ado, in the studio is my very good friend, Gustavo Angulo. How you doing, man?
I'm doing really good, Matt, and really doing crazy. How are you?
Good.
We're doing good.
Glad you're here.
You know, you're a busy man, Gustavo, so to get you in here is pretty awesome.
Well, I'll tell you, it's a privilege to be here. Really, I'm an honor.
Nice, nice. Well, since we're going to get straight into it because I got the privilege of hosting the high school breakout, and you were the person that I had come in, and I kind of asked you questions in front of everybody, and I told a lot of people it was one of my favorite parts of the day because I thought you had a lot of great content. I thought the people that were at the breakout with us, the other high school parents that were contributing to the conversation, had great content.
Right.
And as we were doing it, I was like, we got to record this so that people that weren't able to be there could listen to it later. So that's why we asked you to come in. And first, why don't you just give us a little bit of a background? Obviously, you've got a little bit of an accent.
Yeah, I don't absolutely. Know if people noticed I'm originally from Mexico. I met my wife, Nicole, there. She was a little bit of a missionary. And so we kind of got together at church. We started kind of doing things together. And she was that kind of woman that I said, I want to have children with these women. You know? It really was that way. You know, it's like, yeah, I can do life with this kind of lady.
Yeah.
And so, but interesting, as soon as I'm telling you that, I mean, raising children is so difficult, right? So I have three children, two mm-hmm. of them are in high school and one more in middle school. And I've been living in the States for the last 22 years. And that's pretty much about it. And every day is a constant struggle.
There we go.
But I'm okay.
And what do you do for a living, Gustavo?
I'm an architect. I'm a designer. And I work for a firm in New Albany, Ohio.
There we go. Mm-hmm. And your favorite sport is?
Soccer.
Without a question.
Yeah, right now I'm a little hurt. I'm overjoyed because there's soccer all the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, Mexico lost and the States is doing well, but I think it could do better. So
there we go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know we've scored one goal in the World Series, right? America, isn't it?
Yes.
I think it was 0-0 tie the first game.
That is correct.
I don't get that as an American sports fan. I'm just like, how do you end on a 0-0 tie? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, but then we beat, who was it? Iran. We beat Iran.
Right.
And then, but it was like 1-0, right. Super high scoring affair.
Mm-hmm.
Intense. But this is the world sport. Like everybody thinks American football is popular. Soccer is popular. And in fact, it's called football everywhere else except for here.
We will say football.
Oh yeah, sorry, football. which is a way more accurate name too. I mean, you're actually kicking it all the time. So,
right.
But and tell me the names of your children.
My oldest, who's a senior, is Alex. Ezra is a junior, and then Isaac, he's in sixth grade.
Can I tell you? I got to tell you something personal.
Yeah,
I love all of your kids.
Oh, thank you.
I want my daughter to marry your son, Isaac. I love...
Well, we'll take Ezra.
all of the Angulo boys, I'm like, but Isaac is my daughter's age. So I've mentioned this to Maura. I'm just like, hey, he's a cool kid. She's like, leave me alone, Dad. I'm like, all right, we'll just wait. We'll wait. But yeah, you've got a great family. Your wife is awesome. You. Your wife is involved with the school here, right?
That is correct. She's the principal for the middle and high school.
That's right. We see her all the time. In fact, she's going to be doing our middle school breakout podcast. So we look forward to talking to her. So, why don't we just go ahead and get into it now? We're going to follow exactly what we did at the breakout. Okay. We're just going to ask, Chrissy and I are going to ask you some questions, and then we're just going to have a conversation about it, because high school kids are, there's a lot of, how do I say this, challenges to raising high schoolers, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of privileges, a lot of benefits. Now, the cool thing about this is I don't have a high schooler yet. Chrissy, you've got a high schooler.
I do. I'm a senior as well with Alex.
That's right. I forgot. Lots your boy is, you're going to be down a kid. Both of you guys are, and it's both of your firstborns.
Yes.
That's right.
Oh, man. We'll try to keep the tears in. I should have brought some tissues for you, Chrissy.
I might be able to hold it together. I got two men in here.
That's right.
Got a reputation, though.
We always joke, Chrissy has just, how long has it been now since you've been working at Genoa? Two years?
A year and a half.
Year and a half. She brings the emotion to our staff meetings.
That's awesome.
And it's good because we're all a bunch of hardened men who never show emotion or cry.
We've been in ministry for way too long. Cancer doesn't scare them anymore.
It's good to have the good female perspective.
That's right.
So we appreciate you, Chrissy. So
thank you.
All right, Gustavo, let's go ahead and dive in. We're going to do question number one, which is this. What's the best thing about the high school phase? What do you think?
One thing that I want to tell you is that obviously I'm going to be telling you my experience, right? And the other thing is, you know me, and I'm very peculiar with my children, you know, just all that kind of stuff. But overall, when I think about is, and what I was telling you on the conference and parents' conference is that they keep me young. I mean, they really do. And,
right.
And that's something that I enjoy, especially now that I'm kind of getting older. And in my mind, I'm on my 20s, but my body constantly tells me, no, you're not.
Yeah.
And so having children that they are playing sports, that they are keeping me up with the society and with technology. And so that I enjoy a lot.
Yes.
You know, it's something that I really appreciate that they keep me young. And it is difficult not to live vicariously through them. Right. But you enjoy their highs and you suffer with them, their lows, and you enjoy hearing them talking about high school and their friends and their sports and when they get mad and when they get happy. So that process of them keeping me young, I do enjoy that a lot. You know, I need to do that because if not, I cannot keep up with them for sure. You know, and you enjoy their achievements. I mean, it's kind of hard, and this is something that I'm learning a little bit more. It is that balance of kind of enjoying life through them, but not asking them to live life through you.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And that is very difficult. I thought it was going to be very easy, you know, kind of just do that, but it's not.
Right.
It's not. I mean, even in the soccer games, you know, when I'm looking at them, it's just sometimes hard not to scream, you know, and just get into it. And so
do what I would do.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
But that's what really kind of keeps me happy. The other thing is, yeah, sure, you suffer when they're down, but you always enjoy when they do good decisions, right? Yeah. When they do good at school, when they do make good decisions.
Right.
Those kind of stuff makes you, you're investing so much in them, right?
Yes, every day,
you're investing every moment. All the things and the time and the effort and the money. And so when you see a little bit of that fruit, you're like, yes, mm-hmm. It's not wasted time.
That's right.
And so I kind of enjoy that a little bit. I do enjoy seeing them being independent.
Mm-hmm.
Funny part is it's just a dual feel because on one hand, I want to keep them really close, you know,
yeah.
Them like close to me and I want nothing to happen to them and I want to be with them close. But at the same time, the other thing is you want them to be out there making decisions, be alone, driving alone. And so when they are achieving those, that's what keeps me happy, you know.
Right.
It gives me joy to see them taking their first job, driving the first time, their first no, and you think, oh my gosh, I don't want you to text me. And letting them go,
yeah,
it is a conflict of emotions because in one hand you're so happy that gives you joy, but
right.
In the other one you're like so concerned, you know.
Yes, yeah, there's so much more easy about having another driver in the house too,
right.
To help with the sports and the
grocery runs.
Oh my
gosh. Pick up milk on your way home.
I hate having to pay for insurance because I tell you what, it's like four times what we pay for me and my wife.
Oh
my
yeah, bet.
But it is so nice. It is worth it.
It is
so worth it.
That's right.
It is so nice. And well, But yeah, overall, this is just a really good experience.
Yeah. I heard somebody once say that when you have kids, or before you have kids, out of a scale of like 1 to 10, the happiest you can be in life is like a 7 or an 8. Mm. And the lowest you can be is like a 2 or something. But then when you have kids, the happiest you can be is 1,000. Mm. Right. And the saddest you can be is -1,000,000. Because if something happens to your kid, right, it's the most devastating thing.
Oh my gosh.
But if something good happens, it just brings you so much joy, right? Yeah. And I love hearing, because did you play football soccer growing up?
Yeah, sorry.
I'm gonna try to talk. So you can,
thank you.
To you here. Yeah, but so you grew up. So that's got to be pretty awesome. Because your boys are really good at soccer. I mean, they're not bad, you know. And what's funny is I've seen you coach at Upward before, Genoa Sports League, and I love it. It's so funny watching you coach, and I mean, in a good way. It's all. I'm like, that dude knows what he's talking about.
Yeah,
that's good.
Kids benefit for sure.
Yeah, so that's cool.
No, I totally do. I mean, as a parent, you do have the opportunity many times to be a good influence and a bad influence. Mm-hmm. And what I'm talking about this is you do project yourself into them. There's mm-hmm. nothing to it, right? So if I'm doing bad things, most likely I'm going to be projecting bad things. If I do soccer, I'm going to be projecting soccer. If I was doing basketball, I will be projecting basketball, because you just kind of push what you like as a parent.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so that's why it's so important that, I mean, even the Bible says, right, that I don't even know if the Bible says that right now, if I'm just kind of making it up, the idea. But what you reap what you sow, mm-hmm. right? So if you sow soccer, most likely that's what you're going to end up ripping, right? And so whatever is it that you're pouring, and yes, you pour what you like. Right. I mean, which is awesome, but it's very dangerous. I mean, working that line, it's awesome because it has allowed me to enjoy soccer for another 20 years. Even I'm not playing. I mean, I play with them all the time, but I'm not playing like that. But at the same time, you have that danger of kind of dictating them. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I have discovered is that you gotta let them be who they are. They need direction, they need a structure, they need all of this. But by golly, they are their own individuals. And that is so hard. It has been really, really hard for me to kind of make that distinction, you know.
Wait, when Gustavo, you're saying that your kids don't make the exact decisions that you would make? Is this what you're saying right
now? You know what? They don't.
I've seen that in my kids at a young age. I'm like, no, that's not what I would do. Why are you doing that, you know?
But you know what? Connecting to that, and kind of retaking the last question about the things that give me the most joy, it is, you know, as a parent, you can impose in your children.
Sure.
You know, and you can tell them, you're going to do this, and you're going to, you know. And when they're little, that's what is expected, right? You just give them a frame. They are not questioning. But what I'm discovering is as soon as they hit the 13, 14, 15, they're going to start challenging you now, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the things that gives me the most joy nowadays is not when my children are looking at me with fear, like, you know what's going to happen, you know, and I'm going to take this and I'm going to do this and you're not going to get that. But when they look at me with respect, and that is one of those things that I do appreciate. Mm-hmm. It is not because I'm telling you, but because I told you in the past, you have seen the consequences, positive, negative of that.
Right.
And now I'm going to follow what you're telling me because I'm a believer now. And so they look at you and there's no fear. There's just conviction and respect. And oh my gosh, at that moment, you're like,
yes.
Okay.
You've made it.
It was worth it. You know, it was worth it. Because I tell you what, I see so many, I don't want to say defeats, but so many troubles for a few victories, you know? Mm-hmm. You're constantly pounding and pounding and pounding, and sometimes you don't see what you want to see. And so what gives me joy is those little moments in which you're thinking, man, this is not wasted. This is just something that has been beneficial for that. So, and that was kind of connected a little bit to the sports idea, because my wife tells me, well, yeah, they play soccer because you play soccer. And you're like, well, yeah, right?
That's right.
But I think the mistake will be I'm forcing you to play soccer, and you're going to be play soccer, because if not, I'm not going to be happy.
Right.
But the opposite, which is, oh my gosh, I'm happy because you play soccer.
Yeah.
And so that kind of position of the equation really kind of changes, you know?
Right. And I'll piggyback on that for a minute. I know that And I want to ask you guys this, like, as parents, I think we have to get to a point where the kids trust that when we're correcting them or disciplining them, they realize it's for a greater good for them, right? It's a development. We're trying to teach them. Because back to what you were saying, Gustavo, about you reap what you sow, you know, this also is the case spiritually, you know. Right. And obviously we can't force our kids to get saved. And I say this all the time. You can't guarantee that your kid gets saved, but you can almost guarantee they don't. Right? Meaning if you never are showing them Jesus, or if you're showing them a bad Jesus. And what I mean by that is you're claiming that you're doing these things in the name of God and disciplining, and then your lifestyle is completely opposite to what the Bible is preaching. They're gonna see a bad image of Jesus there, you know? And so it's like, how do we get to this place where we as parents can constantly be building this trust while we're disciplining, so that as they're older, they just go, you know, mom and dad, they were doing this for my good, you know, and they weren't just doing it just for legalistic reasons. It was, there was a reason for this, you know, and hopefully I think that's the end goal that we want, right? It's where kids can say, because I know I do that. I look back now and I go, oh, dad, I get it. I get why you beat my butt so much. This is when people spanked their kids back in the day, right? and be grounded and all this stuff. But my parents were very loving, and it got to the point where I was like, okay, you know, I can see that, you know, and so I mean that whole, I love what you were saying about we got to pour into them, you know. Obviously, again, you play soccer. My kids are finally starting to like Buckeye football.
Is that right?
Which, well, I don't know about after this last week when we lost to Michigan.
I don't even know, but if you still like Buckeye football.
I don't want to talk about it, but it is cool seeing your kids share some of the same interest. But then I've got some of my other kids that want nothing to do with some of my interests. And I'm like, ugh. And it's kind of what you were saying. You're like, man, do you mind telling that story about West Point that you were talking about with Alex?
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, I do. My Alex, he's gifted in many areas.
Right. Smart kid.
And he knows it. And some of the struggles that I have with him is that he has opportunities that, jokingly, I'm saying this, you will say, I killed somebody just to kind of have that opportunity. Yeah. You know, who do I need to stab in order to kind of have that opportunity?
I'll do whatever it takes.
Right, whatever it takes. I know that's a bad joke.
Not on the parent podcast.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we get it.
Right. It's that intensity. Mm-hmm. And he received an invitation from West Point. And at the beginning, I was not even aware of that, right? I mean, you hear about West Point, my case, from movies, and you see the whole, you know, fanfare around it, and just... But it was not until I received that, and I look at it, and I said, okay, so what is this all about? You know, and so I look into that, and I realized it was a true college. It is something that kind of prepares the next generations of leaderships in the military. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, my gosh, this is a big deal. And then to find out that in many cases, you need to have people request to be in there, right? And Alex, and so part of me wanted to kind of reach over and say, man, do you see the opportunity? And he was like,
wow.
Like, oh my gosh. Like,
West what? Like, West Point boy. Come on.
and you know, and he has received invitations from other places like that. That you're thinking, man, what an opportunity. And it was difficult for me to once again detach from what I want to what he wants. Mm-hmm. And if that's not what he wants, I tell you what, it doesn't matter if he goes to Harvard. He's not gonna be happy. He's gonna grab that a degree, throw it to my face after 4 years, and says, here you are. Now I'm going to go do what I want to do, you know?
Right.
And I think that's not the important part. So it is difficult for me as a parent. And one of the things that down the road I'm going to tell you, and I know that it's going to come because it came on the parent conference, is the idea that I always thought it was me educating my children. And now I'm realizing is me educating myself to educate my children. Mm. Does that make sense? To guide my children.
Oh, yeah.
And that has been difficult because it's just like, well, I know everything. I don't need to. I'm already a parent. I should. You do what I'm telling you to do. And it's not that way. And so when an opportunity like that kind of comes and you realize that it's a big deal, right?
Yeah.
It is a big deal. And then you can start thinking as a parent, and the opportunities, and then he could do this, and he's still around. And then you start building it up. Mm-hmm. You're thinking, take it. And do it. but I'm going to tell you, just as a final and a little bit of a joke on the idea of what do I like the most and what makes me happiest and with the high schoolers is at the end, I think I can tell you is not that my children will do something like that, that we eat together. Mm-hmm. And when we are eating together, life happens together.
Right.
I don't know if I will enjoy him being too far away, doing other stuff that he doesn't want to do. But when we eat together and we're just enjoying and we're just, you know, the belly's full and we're laughing and we're joking, they're telling me, I think those are the moments that matter. And I think those are the moments that my children know that we care about them, that they matter, and that they have a place on the table, I mean, physically and emotionally, you know?
Right.
And so, and then the other thing is, like, the last thing that I enjoy a lot doing with them is playing soccer.
That's
and,
right.
Like, for example, I've been in many places, but what we do is we end up kind of taking soccer balls with us, and then we inflate them after they go in the plane,
yeah.
And then we go and take pickup games on the streets, in the park, and we find it.
Right.
I tell you what, it's just lovely. So those are like the stuff that it fills me because I love it, but I enjoy life with my children, and that is super, super awesome.
And we saw that on the mission trip when we went to the Dominican Republic, you and your family.
That's right.
I was like, where do they get these soccer balls from? And sure enough.
Got their little pumps in their bags.
Yeah, that wasn't your first rodeo because you brought a bunch, I think, and gave them all away.
Yeah,
and stuff,
yeah. And at the
really
end,
cool.
You end up giving the soccer ball to the children. They're super happy. Gift. My boys are super happy. I'm super happy. Aww. So it's just like, man.
Again, sharing the gift.
For $10. And then it's life, right? And then at the end, they just kind of have my children enjoy. I enjoy. And you know what I have? You were talking about the idea of the influence that we do as a Christians. Mm-hmm. And I think those are the moments when you are building in the table with them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
When you are doing something that they enjoy and you enjoy, that is not force, right? It's not an obligation. It's when you start building your account with them. That then you can ask in difficult times when they feel the pressure outside. And then you can say, hey, I don't think this is the best thing for you. Mm-hmm. And they're going to say, but everybody's doing it, but I want to do it. But and those are the times that you kind of cash that chip.
Right.
Because emotionally, you have invested on them.
Yep.
And then they can just say, okay, fine.
Right.
And then they see that connection.
Right.
And then it's when they just kind of look at you and say, oh, my gosh, maybe he's not as silly as
I
thought he was. You know?
Yeah. I like that. You're building up that equity with them.
Equity.
And then they can you can cash in on that. That's great.
I love that. I think that kind of just goes right into that. The most surprising part of this phase is that kind of like light bulbs for me even. And I think, too, where your convictions really do bleed into your consistency as a parent, because if it's not something that's a part of you, it's really hard to be consistent with your parenting in it, and even learning new little tricks about discipline and stuff like that. If you don't really buy into it yourself, you can't continually do that with your kids. You can't remember to do it because it's really not a conviction.
Right,
so I feel like that conviction really becomes the consistency. Like whatever it is, they're equals. And if you can't be, you know, whatever it is you have, if it's just investing in those kids like that, I think that's awesome because that becomes who you are, and it happens all the time.
Yep.
And it's so natural for your kids.
Right.
So there's that comfortability of this is home, this is dad, this is my spiritual leader. And what a neat way to grow up and then to go out and then feel a world that doesn't have that. And then just feel like, oh, I want to go back home. I want to feel it for a minute again, and then go recharge and go back out.
Right.
And that is our job.
Right.
We don't want to not hit these milestones. We want to, even though they're sad, we want to see those successes and then get to that point where they are flying the nest and being successful, and then watching them fail and being there with them and praying them through, and then seeing them, you know, lean on the Lord and stop leaning so much on you. What a neat thing at this point in life with my Grant as a senior as well. I just keep praying those, like you said, those many, many failures, but a few of those successes and victories really do encourage you at this time.
That's good. So, that's real good.
But how about any other surprising?
Well, we'll tell you what, I've got an idea. Why don't we take a quick break, and then we'll cover our last three questions on the second part of this. So stay tuned. We will be back in just a minute for part two of the high school breakout.